Blog Talk Radio.
Ourselves behind the cross
And we ask you, Lord, that you would come into our spirit, God, that you would speak, you would lead, and that you would direct as I open up my mouth as an oracle of heaven, God, that you would lead your people to purpose in the name of Jesus. And Satan, I serve notice on you. I serve notice on you that you have no legal rights, and I command you to take your hands off what belongs to God. Let the blood of Jesus rebuke you as we go on into our purpose and our destiny. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I'm telling you, I pray that I'm coming in clearly, for we're on the road, but guess what? There's nothing too hard for God. So I just thank God for what he's doing and how he's moving. And I just want you to know that as you get your pencils and your paper, that you have your hearts open to receive what God is doing in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. I'm telling you, it's something about the word of God. When you sit at the table, and you're hungry and you're thirsty for the rivers of God, you're thirsty for the word of God, the food of God. You know how you sit at the table and you are, your physical body is just hungry, that you have an appetite to eat the word of God? The Bible says that when you hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, thou shall be filled. God's going to fill you up. So I pray that you're hungry. I pray that you're thirsty. And I just want to release a prophetic word in your spirit to fill you up and to encourage you that when the enemy comes, however he comes, that you're prepared, that you're vigilant as a soldier in the army of God. We're going to talk about today, amen, I'm excited, spiritual strategies, when the deep calls upon the deep, amen, 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 amen. And for a subtopic, I'm going to use, hallelujah, I'm going to kind of break down the tabernacle. The tabernacle in association with the tabernacle of Moses. I'm going to kind of break that down a little bit. So how we can use the tabernacle as one of our spiritual weapons. Amen. And when we use the tabernacle, then we're able to allow, hallelujah, the deep to call upon the deep. Amen. The deep calls to the deep. See, there is such a depth in the scripture that dives, I'll say that there's a deep dive into the things that bring wisdom, a deep dive into the things that bring knowledge, and things that bring understanding of the precious tools or the things of God. So we're going to take a deep dive today. You know, as we're told in Proverbs, the Bible says, blessed be the God who will bring us into all things. That's in Psalms 42:7. So we're going to take a deep dive, and we're going to talk about when the deep calls upon the deep, how we can tap into the deep things of God and know when God is trying to give us an understanding of why we're going through, what we're going through, and how in the time of trouble, how we can go into that deep place. Amen. We can walk in that deep place. Amen. The deep will call to the deep in the roar of your waterfall. What would that mean? When all your waves and breakers have swept over you, that you can call on God. You don't understand why this is happening, but you can call on God, hallelujah, and get an answer. I'm telling you, God has such a miraculous way to open the eyes of our understanding. You know, and as Elder and I was in the car earlier, it was so funny. One of my, I'll say my best friend, and she is just an awesome, awesome woman of God. And we talk maybe twice a year, maybe three, sometime a little more, but it's not like we frequently talk to each other. But whenever we talk, there is such an inner joy. I mean, I've been knowing her since I have been 8 years old. Never had one cross word. And she said to me today, she said, you know, I've been in a little depressed stage. She said, but I know that we cannot question God. And I went on and I kept my ears open to hear what else she had to say about not questioning God. And she kept saying, you know, and I wouldn't dare question God. And is it wrong to get answers from God? Is it wrong to question God? What does the Bible say? Is it a sin to question God if I ask you something? You know, and I went on. That's why I'm telling you, sit at the table and eat, so that when comments are made, that you can back it up with the word of God. He said, we have not because we ask not. Is it okay to question God? The Bible says, ask. Amen. And it shall be given. Although the Lord does not answer all of our questions, but he tell us to ask. Not just ask what we want or ask what we need, but the Lord want us to ask. Amen. It's okay to ask God. He can handle it. Ask those questions. Ask so that God may give you an answer. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. See, we have to teach the people of God that they are to make the most out of the opportunity of asking God anything you want to ask him. He's not going to get offended. He's not going to be taken back. He's not going to get mad at you and not talk to you anymore. So we ask, A-S-K, ask, seek, and knock. Amen. So as I said that to her, she told me that that spirit of depression lifted his ugly head. So sometimes we have to go to God. So we may ask the questions that we have. Don't be deceived by Satan's devices. I just want to release that to everyone on the line, because we have a big G that's not a, he's not a punk. I can say that. And he can answer any question you have. Now, how do we get answers? Let's talk about the tabernacle. The tabernacle, what does the tabernacle mean? The tabernacle means tent. Amen. And the tent is a place of dwelling. Hallelujah. Or should I say a sanctuary. And I pray that you can hear me clearly. If there's anyone on the line and you're not able to hear me clearly, just send me a quick text so I may know that you can't hear clearly, but I hope you can. So we're talking about a tabernacle, which meaning a tent, and a place of dwelling or a sanctuary. It was a sacred place where God, he chose to meet his people in a dwelling place. So let me give you an example. The Israelites, you know, during the 40 years that they wandered in the desert place, and we know that they were under Moses' leadership, amen? And they was wandering. It was a place where the leaders and the people came together to worship and to offer sacrifices. The tabernacle was the first erected. It was erected in the wilderness. And I believe it was exactly 1 year after the Passover when the Israelites were free from their Egyptian slavery. Amen. And that was around 1450 B.C. before Christ. It was a mobile tent. You know, they felt like they needed to carry this tent, this tabernacle with them, so that they could commune with God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So they carried the tent with them. And as they carried the tent, it was a mobile tent and it was portable. It was portable furniture that the people traveled with, and they set it up, and whenever they pitched the camp, hey, tabernacle was on. The tabernacle would be in the center of the camp. And the 12 tribes, I want you to see the picture. The 12 tribes of Israel would set up their tent around it, and the tabernacle would be in the middle, hallelujah, like our heart is in the middle, hallelujah. So they would set it, it's symbolic, I want you to get the picture. It would be in the middle, and they would set up camp around the tabernacle. And around it, according to the 12 tribes, let me kind of break it down. The instructions on how to build a tabernacle was first given to Moses in the wilderness, who then gave the orders to the Israelites. It was a chain of command. So it was given to Moses, and then Moses gave it to the people. And they made a sanctuary in the tabernacle. I want you to turn your Bibles to Exodus, hallelujah, Exodus 25:8. And that song came to me, Lord, make me a sanctuary. I love that song. Make me a sanctuary. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Exodus, and I'm going to read the B clause of that where it says, make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. And then the Bible says, let me read Exodus 29, and I'm going to read verse 45 through 46, and I want you to see it. See what I'm saying. And I'm going to show you how this can be used as a weapon. Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord, their God, who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them. And so God dwelled among his people in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, and he appeared. Can you see him appearing in the midst of your wilderness experience, showing up as a pillar of a cloud over the tabernacle by day, and then he has shown as a pillar of fire by night in the sight of all Israel. He was there. He would show up. Just see the cloud, the pillar, walking with you, leading you, guiding you, directing you. And at night, showing up as fire. See, the people would not set out on their journey unless the cloud lifted. It was unmistakably powerful, a vision indicating that God present was among them. So we're talking about the tabernacle. God knew that the Israelites needed a visual evidence of his presence. See, he knew that. He knew that they need to see some signs. He knew that they had to be reassured that he was with them because they had went through so much. And sometimes we ourselves, we said, Lord, show me a sign that you're with me. You know, send somebody. Let me hear a testimony. But when Moses went up on Mount Sinai for 40 days, he was gone for a while, and the people did not see or hear from him. They became impatient. They became bothered. What did they do? You know the story. They gathered up all of their gold and they made their own god out of gold, a golden calf. Don't we know how to get into trouble? But God never left them. He was there the whole time. They wasn't trying to run to the tabernacle. They were instead trying to get them another God because you've gone too long. It's almost like a husband and a wife. If the wife is gone too long, maybe the husband might wonder, or they say if the cat's away, the mouse will play, or something in that order. But let me come on back. If they did not have Moses to lead them. They began to wonder. And so they made this golden calf, and they began to worship this calf in the place of God. But after 10 generations of living in Egypt, it was not surprising that the Israelites mimicked the Egyptians, because they had been around them so much in fashion that they were so used to making a visual idol of their own. And their acts of disobedience, it demonstrated their need to follow and worship a God that was tangible, I like to say, that was something they could see. you know, they were so used to that because they had been in with the Egyptians for 10 generations. So they was used to it. It was a splendor to behold. Just think about it. They was used to seeing something. And not only allowed the people to see something, they were able to gratify their flesh. You know, see, that flesh will take over if you don't put it under subjection, if you don't make it obey you, if you don't see when it is rising up. So they began to worship this idol God. It's easy to happen. That's why we have to understand the need that we have an understanding of a dwelling place, a place of dwelling that's not mobile, a place of dwelling that's not portable, a place of dwelling that we don't have to pitch this tent, because now the tabernacle is a dwelling place in our heart. Come on, I want you to understand that the tabernacle of Moses is a lesson of an unquestionable authority. See, the tabernacle is more than just a dwelling place. All of the components of the tabernacle were parts of a instrument, a visual aid, a illustration of God's relationship with his people, a blueprint, how not to stray away when we can go to our place of dwelling within. I want you to hear what I'm saying. When the deep calls upon the deep is when God is able to reach you without you getting out of yourself. Let me explain what I'm trying to exemplify to you. What I'm trying to say is, and I said this to one of my client / coach. I'm mentoring a person as well. Look in the mirror and find yourself. See, sometimes you can lose yourself trying to please other people. You can get lost in the jungle. You can get so lost that not only are you lost, because your whole being is about pleasing someone else, that you lost yourself and now you don't know where to find it. So I suggested that they look in the mirror and pull out the person that God created you to be. And if you pull out who God created you to be, it's only then that you're able to find the dwelling place that's within you. And when you find that dwelling place of Christ, then you're able to visit the tabernacle of your heart. When you can deal with yourself, when you can ask God questions, when the deep can call upon the deep and God can reveal to you answers. I want to make it plain. I want to make it plain so that you can really gravitate and get a revelation of how God wants to make a spiritual deposit in your life. I want to play a segment of the song, and I want you to listen to what she's saying. Deep calling upon the deep. When God can speak to you and you don't open your mouth, but you can hear him and you can speak back to him and you not open your mouth. And then you can get an answer from him and you don't open your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, and rest. Allow the deep to call upon the deep is when you yield in his presence and you allow the water of heaven to rain upon you. Not only will every drop fall on you. The water will wet every thought and saturate it with the voice of God. And then his glory will fall on you. But you have to stay in his presence. Stay in the tent. Run to the rock. Dwell there. And what do I mean, dwell there? I mean that you could be active, but you could be in his presence. Jesus was just so cool. He was so calm. He was so collective. He didn't respond to everything. But when he opened up his mouth, it was a creative force. Things began to happen. Things began to change. Why? Because he was seated on the right hand of the Father. Listen, the tabernacle is within now. It's in your heart. Make this tabernacle and all of its furnishing exactly like the pattern I will show you. That's what the Lord is saying. He said, I'm going to show you how to dwell with me. So when things happen, he don't want us to be all over the place with our thoughts. He wants us to keep our mind stayed on him. So we keep our mind on the things that's honest, pure, and of a good report. The things that's lovely. Oh, yeah, it could be stormy. But he wants us to keep our minds stayed on him. Because if we allow our minds to be all over the place, then we will respond with a all over the place answer. Let me give you an example. So you talk to all these different people, or you listen to all these different people, everyone coming with a different aspect or a different situation or a different problem or seeking direction. Now, you as a counselor, or you as a minister, or you as a believer, or you as as the people of God, so you're bringing solutions to problems, and you're answering based on what you've been saying or what you have inside of you. So if you've been in the presence of God, if you've been in the tent, or if you've been in the dwelling place, or you've been in the sanctuary, guess what kind of answer you're going to give? Only thing you can give is what you have. So you give what you have based on where you've been. So you've been in the tabernacle. You've been with the Father. So just say, a young lady was talking to me, and every single thing that she was saying was so negative. It was so tore down. It was so beat up. And I knew that her surroundings or the people that were feeding her were people that were tearing down her spirit. And then what she was giving me was what she had. So I encouraged her to go to a dwelling place, to get into the tabernacle of God, so that she may give a good report, that she may be able to bring some oil. And let me give you an example. The anointing oil for the tabernacle and the incense for the altar of the incense, that it was made from God's own prescribed formula of spices. See, we in the tabernacle, there were products. There were lava and I'm going to break the elements down to you. But when you are in the tabernacle, and it had the outer courts, the inner court, and the holies of holies. How deep do you want to go? How far in the tabernacle do you want to go? Do you want to go into the Holy of Holies? Do you want to stay on the outside? Do you want to stay in the outer court? Or do you want to stay outside? I told you that the tabernacle was put in the center, and then the 12 tribes would build their tent, their dwelling place around the tabernacle. Where are you? Where are you going to place your tent? Are you going to go in to the outer court? Are you just going to stay there? Or are you going to go into the inner court? You're going to go just a little bit deeper, you know, because you're seeking, you want more. You want a little more. So you go into the inner court. Or are you going to go into the holies of holies, where the Spirit of the Lord is? See, sometimes you can just stay in the wilderness. The wilderness tabernacle is a projection of God, a redemptive plan. You know, you can stay in the wilderness and still have a projection of God. But do you want to get to know Him? See, when you get to know Him, there's a weapon that you have, and it's there all of the time. So I'm talking about using your tools to crush the enemy, because see, what do he attack? He attack your thought life. And when he attack your thought life, he give you ideals, and then he make you think a certain way. And it can literally become witchcraft, where the enemy will start using those tools, and before you know it, you start thinking like the enemy thinking. You start talking like the enemy's talking. You don't realize that you have no joy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength, and when you have no strength, guess what? You're going to become weak, and if you become weak, guess what? You become vulnerable. If you become vulnerable, you're not vigilant. If you're not vigilant, whew, he can overtake you. So I want to invite you to come into the holies of holies. See, when the priests, hallelujah, they could only come into the holies of holies. And if the priests had sin in their life, when they got to the holies of holies, guess what happened? They would die. Oh, yes. Let me read it, what the scripture says in Exodus 30, 34, amen, through 38. You can take the time and you can read that at your leisure to get a clarification of the scripture. But the special garment for the priests were holy. And if they did not wear the right clothing to service the Lord, they would die. And so that's an example of, if we don't have on the right garments, if we're not living a holy lifestyle, when we come into the holies of holies, we're not able to hear Him clearly. So death does not mean a physical death, it could mean a spiritual death. But in Exodus, when the priests went into the holies of holies, they would literally die if they had sin on them. Amen. They wouldn't come out. And I want to go deeper into studying the tabernacles so we can understand that the tabernacle was it was a prophetic projection of the Lord's redemptive plan for His people. And I want to explain how Jesus Christ Himself fulfilled the picture of the Old Testament tabernacle in many ways when he described the tabernacle. Let me go to Revelation 21 and 3. The Bible says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with man, and he will live with them." So we don't need to carry a portable or a mobile tabernacle now. The Bible says they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. So now the dwelling of God, he'll dwell with us. Not only will he dwell with us, he'll go with us. And so when the enemy comes, then we're well qualified to destroy him because the tabernacle is within. See, the tabernacle, or should I say the tent, it was divided into a holy place. And I was sharing the holy place and the holies of holies. And we're going to go into it a little bit deeper on next week. But on this week, I want you to understand that the tabernacle is, let me kind of give you a layout of the tabernacle. It had a courtyard, which is significant because it illustrated God's prescribed way for man to approach him. Listen, the courtyard. So it was a plan, and you had to go through the courtyard to get to the inner court. And then you had to go through the inner court to go to the holy place. I'm going to give you a layout. So certain things that had to be done. So sometimes you want to hear God and you want to hear him correctly. There are some things that we have to do so that we may be able to have our ear gate open so that we can know that this is God speaking. And sometimes God moves some things away from us, or he'll pull some layers off of us so that we can hear him clearly. And he'll open up a door. He'll close a door. He'll open up a gate so we can go through a gate so we can hear him. I want to let you know that God is setting you up, and he's trying. No, I want to hear. I want to say it like I hear it. He said, I'm changing your story. I am changing your story so that you can know my redemptive plan for the people of God. So you'll no longer have a projection of God, but you'll be into the holies of holies. And then not only will you hear God, but you will know his voice. And not only will you know his voice, that you will be his voice. Listen. Don't you want to be the voice of God? Don't you want to be able to intercede for him in the tent for the people? See, this tent, in that place, that you can be wherever you are. And you can be in a place of a desert place. You could be in the wilderness. You can be in the holies of holies. And the angels can be layered around you. And then you can hear God say, I'm the way and the truth and the light. No one come to the Father except through me. He said, I'm the gate, and whoever enter through me will be saved. Listen, you can be the voice of God. And wherever you go, people can get answers through you because you've been in the holies of holies. Hallelujah. And God wants you to be his messenger so that when they ask questions and when they enter the gate to the tabernacle, that you'll be able to give them an answer because God is speaking. And it could be wisdom. And it'll be knowledge. And that you will speak a word to give them understanding. Don't fall for foolishness. Because, see, this foolishness has a plan of action to get you off course. To pull you out of the tabernacle. To pull you out of the holies of holies. So that you won't hear God. Listen, when God uses you, the enemy is angry. So he'll do every single thing he can to put some ought in your heart so that you will sin against God. And when the deep calls upon the deep, you won't hear God. And you won't be able to give the word of God. And you won't be able to be the voice of God. Because there's sin in the camp. So don't fall for foolishness. Don't fall for the prey that the enemy will set in front of the soldier. The trap. What is it when you're in the desert and they set all these, booby traps. Don't get booby trapped. Stay in the holies of holies. So when the deep calls upon the deep, hallelujah, that you're well qualified to take the land. Stay in that place of peace. So when you stay in the holies of holies, not only is that place of peace on you, but it's in you, and it'll go with you, and the tabernacle is no longer portable, it's no longer mobile, but it's always, it's a set place of your heart. Boy, I'm feeling this thing. The blood of Jesus will cover the altar of your heart. And it's by the blood that your heart is clean. And there's an innocence that's in your heart. That you feel the love of God even when the enemy throw snakes and knives at you, that you can pray for them. Amen. I say do good when evil try to take over you. But don't be made a fool out of. Don't get me wrong. Because see, Jesus did not give his pearls to the swine. Know your worth. Amen. What did he do? He shook the dust. Shake the dust. But still, stay into that secret place because it's a weapon. It's a secret weapon. So the enemy think he got you, but you so cool, calm, and collected. You at a place of peace that surpasses all understanding. You are a loaded gun ready to shoot the target at any time. And guess what? You won't miss. So you're careful what you say, because when you say things, it is a creative force. We're talking about spiritual strategies. So when the deep calls upon the deep, that you're able to release knowledge and wisdom and understanding to anyone that's around you, that you are literally walking in the prophetic, and God is using you, that when you open your mouth, you're not talking crazy. You're not talking foolish. And you're not watching those crazy programs, because in the holies of holies, those programs not there. It's like watching a movie. You're there, you're watching God, and he's moving, and he's using you for his glory to bring purpose to his people. Amen. So your whole goal or your whole mission is to be used by God. Hallelujah. That's the course of the day, that you will bring people to the point of salvation. Amen, amen. Whoo, I'm excited, and I am delighted. Elder and I wish, and we pray God's best on every single person that we come in contact with, that their lives will be made better having heard the word of God. Amen. So we want to encourage you to grow, and don't fall into any booby traps. Amen. Because you're a soldier. You are a soldier. So with that being said, we're going to be talking about the significance of the tabernacle on next week, that it is a weapon, and that you can use it at all times. Amen, amen, amen. We want to say, go to the website of www.giverfi.com and sow into where you grow. Okay? Sow into where you're going. Sow into the ministry. You can go to, you can give us a call at area code 313-583-9739. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. And you can listen to all of the teaching and archives. We have awesome programs that will change your life. I want to encourage you to stay in the tent. Stay there. Stay in his presence so that he may have his cloud of glory. Any place you go, that the fire of God is like a pillar. Amen. That it, he will lead you and guide you. And the enemy will know that you've been in God's presence. So smile at the devil. Let him see your teeth. Let him know that you're happy about Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, this is Pastor Teresa Cox, where I'm excited to be your host for the hour, Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where we will be in our building. And it's like countdown now, so I want to encourage you to continue to sow, because we are here to be used by God. I'm going to play this one song in closing, and if you're able to listen to the lyrics, I want to encourage you to do so. Keep us in your prayers as we are burying our son on next week. As elder, as we travel, that you would pray for the family, pray for unity, pray for forgiveness, pray for God will be able to just take over in our family, amen, that he would show himself so strong that the enemy will be so defeated that he would decide that he wants to be saved. Amen. Just keep us in your prayers. Amen, amen, amen. For we love you, for God loves you best. And just know that the deep shall call upon the deep, and you will hear God's voice. God bless you all, and we love you. Stay in his presence. God bless you all, and have a blessed rest of your day.
Father, your word says, in the last day, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. Upon my handmaids and my servants, while I pour out my spirit. And then you promised us the rain. Former rain and the latter rain together. Can you lift hands and receive the waters of God? Father, tonight we ask for rain in the time of rain. We lift it as a prayer before you. Open the skies. Release the waters of God. Let's say it.
Open the skies.
Release.
Release the rivers of God.
Open the
skies.
Release the waters of heaven. Open the skies. Release the rivers. Deep calls to deep. Deep calls unto deep. Can you say that as a prayer to him? Pour out rain, Father. Open the skies. Release the waters of heaven. Agua de Seo Judea. Release the rivers. Deep calls unto thee. Deep calls unto thee. Lift it as a prayer over the sky. Will you slip up your hands? Let's petition the throne of grace. For out of that throne flows the crystal river, in whom it's healing water. Deep calls to thee. Release the waters.